Good morning, and welcome back to Gainesville Bible Church, where we will continue our study today in the life and times of Jesus Messiah. I trust you are continuing to enjoy this holiday season. I love Christmas, a celebration of the miraculous event that has forever altered humanity. At Christmas, we remember and commemorate the first advent of Jesus, who left his throne in heaven, entered humanity, identified with his creation, and became the propitiation for all those who would trust and accept his provision for their salvation from the enslavement of sin. This morning, we will continue in our study of the birth narrative of Jesus Messiah. Last time we met, we left Jesus in Jerusalem in the temple, where his parents, Mary and Joseph, presented him or dedicated Jesus to the Lord publicly. Now we move some 2 years later and find Jesus visited by an entourage of foreign dignitaries from the East. And once again, I need to remind you that we're going to break some of your traditional assumptions concerning the Nativity. But in this study, we're not concerned with the content of songs, movies, and embellished stories. We're studying, we're exploring, we're examining biblical information, spiritual truth, God's Word. So let's look at our text this morning in Matthew chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Gathering together all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what has been written by the prophet: 'And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called the Magi and determined from them the exact time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child, and when you found him, report to me so that I too may come and worship him." After hearing the king, they went on their way, and the star, which they had seen in the east, went on before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. After coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell on the ground and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another way. The beauty about studying the Bible chronologically is that we never have a chance to leave the context. The surroundings, the characters, the subject matter, they remain fresh in our minds week after week when we return to where we left off last time. Traditionally, we place the wise men at a stable in Bethlehem along with or in close proximity with the shepherds. I think today our text, actual scripture, will reveal that error. Let's see. In verse 1. "Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying..." Now, before we go any further, let's recognize that all we're told at this juncture is that the wise men, or Magi, arrived in Jerusalem sometime after the birth of Jesus. Hard to construct an accurate timeline from this verse. How long after the birth, we're not told. Why Jerusalem? Well, who are they looking for? Verse 2. "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." Oh, these wise men are looking for he who has been born king of the Jews. Well, where better to look for the Jewish king than in Jerusalem? But doesn't this query raise all kind of additional questions? Who are these guys? Where'd they come from? How many were there? How did they know about Messiah's birth? Why'd they travel all the way from Babylon to Bethlehem to see this infant? Before we fall victim to all the songs and Christmas stories, let's examine the text and see what truth we can glean from God's word. Let's start off with that first question. Who were these guys, these magi? Now, I'm not going to bore you with all the etymology, and you can perform your own word study through the internet very easily. But the Greek term magi actually has its roots in a class of people found in the ancient Fertile Crescent of the Babylonian Empire. The magi of ancient Babylon were very respected, high-ranking officials. They were very skilled in astronomy and astrology. They were devoted to the study of the stars. Magi were actually astronomers. Well, where did they come from? Well, we can ascertain that they came from Babylon from two biblical sources. Number one, Matthew tells us that they came from the east. They tell us that they saw the star in the east. Now, the star wasn't in the east. The Magi saw the star while they were in the east, from the east. We also find several references to Magi in Scripture. Where? In the book of Daniel. Remember that Daniel was one of the Jews exiled in Babylon, some 600 years before Jesus was born. And a recurring theme of Daniel is that of the king's dreams and is his magi's inability to interpret them. And that was their function, divination, to determine truth from studying the stars. Are you beginning to see how did God use Daniel 600 years before the birth of his son to authenticate and proclaim the truth concerning the advent of Messiah for all the world to know? Well, he enabled Daniel to interpret the king's dreams when the royal magi could not. You remember the story. The king then promoted Daniel to what position? In Daniel 2, verse 48, then the king promoted Daniel and gave him many great gifts, and he made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief prefect over all the, that's right, wise men, magi. Oh, we just answered another one of those questions, didn't we? Remember we asked, how did they know about Messiah's birth? In Scripture, what was Daniel's role? He was a prophet. Daniel undoubtedly taught the Magi under his authority the prophecy concerning Messiah. For 600 years, generation after generation, the Magi watched the skies for the sign foretold by the great prophet Daniel. Well, why did they travel to the sign of the star? Because the prophecy concerning Messiah foretold of a Savior of the world, not just Israel. And they came to worship this Messiah, King of the Jews, who would be Savior of the world. And by the way, you will notice there's no mention of the number of these wise men. We always say three wise men. I don't think that's very accurate. Now, we know that they were rich, powerful, men of prominence. I don't think they'd have traveled across such a great distance alone. There'd be a large caravan complete with guards and guides and an entourage. Now, three gifts are mentioned, but the ambassadors are certainly not limited to just three. Verse 3, when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Well, why was Herod troubled? Well, that's an easy one. He's the king, and a pretty evil, despised king at that. Herod was actually king in name only. Rome ruled Judea. Herod was appointed king by Caesar. Herod the Great was far from great. He was a paranoid, ruthless tyrant who would never be accepted by Israel as king. He wasn't even Jewish. But why was all of Jerusalem troubled? Well, you've heard the expression, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. If this ruthless tyrant king is not happy, who you think's going to take the brunt of his anger? His citizens. And they did, as we will see later. Verse 4, gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. Why'd he have to ask the Bible scholars? Well, did I mention that Herod wasn't a Jew? He didn't know biblical prophecy. Verse 5, and they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah. For out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. The prophet Micah foretold that Messiah would come from Bethlehem. And for those who discount Old Testament prophecy, the most respected Jewish scholars in Herod's administration recognized that Micah's prophecy pointed to Messiah being born in Bethlehem. Verse 7, then Herod secretly called the Magi and determined from them the exact time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child, and when you found him, report to me so that I too may come and worship him. Well, what's old Sneaky Pete up to here? Now, we know he doesn't want to worship Jesus. He wants to kill him to protect his throne. When it comes to protecting his throne, Herod was a killing machine. He was responsible for the deaths of one of his wives and at least two of his sons in protection of that throne. Caesar famously remarked that it was better to be Herod's pig than his son. So Herod met with the Magi in private to find out where they had first seen the Messiah star. And he used this information to plot the deaths of all possible candidates in Bethlehem, which we're going to find out next week was 2 years old or less. In verse 9, after hearing the king, they went on their way, and the star which they had seen in the east went on before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was. Now this was a supernatural star. Not like other stars that remained fixed in the sky, this one moved as it guided the Magi to the location of Jesus, Messiah. And upon reaching its target, the star stopped at the point where Jesus lay. Verse 10, when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. When they saw the star means when the star led them to their destination. And there was no letdown when they arrived. They weren't disappointed to find Jesus in such a lowly state. They were full of joy. And they let their excitement be known that prophecy had been fulfilled in their eyes. They had found Messiah. In verse 11, after coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And did you catch that first part? This probably occurred around 2 years after the birth of Jesus. Joseph and Mary have moved into a house by now. You may need to reconfigure your nativity scene next year. No wise men at the manger. These foreign dignitaries worship the infant Messiah and offer gifts that speak to his person. Gold for a king, frankincense used for ceremonial worship of deity, and myrrh for anointing a body for burial. Verse 12, and having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another way. See, the Magi were following God's will, his divine directive, set in motion many generations ago. And when they had reached their journey's end, when they had fulfilled their divine mission, he guided them safely home. What a wonderful story. But much more than just a story, what a marvelous revelation from God, illustrating his divine character, his divine plan for the redemption of, well, not just Israel, but the whole world. All who would place faith and trust in the person and work of Jesus, Messiah. Now, if you're like me and you truly love the Christmas season, it doesn't have to end. As we can contemplate what God has done for us in the sending of his Son, part of himself, to this mortal plane, to identify with us, to teach us what perfection looks like, to show us what God's standard looks like, to be propitiation, to be payment for our sin. We can celebrate every day as Christmas. Hallelujah, how the angels sang. Hallelujah, how they sang. And the sky was bright with a holy light. It was the birthday of a king. And that king is alive today. A king worthy of our worship, deserving of our honor and obedience. God's own son, Jesus Messiah. And yes, wise men still seek him. Until next time, may God bless you.